Our first reading this morning is from the Hebrew Bible, Psalm 119, verses 171 to 176. Let praise cascade off my lips. You've taught me the truth about life. Let your promises ring from my tongue. Every note you sound rings true. You've sounded rings true. Put your hand out and steady me, since I've chosen to live by your counsel. I'm homesick, God, for your salvation. I love to see your ways revealed. Invigorate my soul so I can praise you well, and let your wisdom come to my aid. And should I wander off like a lost sheep, seek me. I'll recognize the sound of your voice.
Our gospel passage this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 32. And we've got some good parables this morning. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until they find it? And when you found it, you lay hands on its shoulders and rejoice. And when it comes home, you call together your friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So the father divided his property between the sons. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So the younger son set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the father's older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what was going on. And the servant replied, 'Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then the older son became angry and refused to join the party. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working for you like a slave, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So parables, as we know, always have a twist, right? Maybe that'll be a trivia question at next week's variety show, and you can answer what parables always have and win some glory and fame. So in this morning's parables, of course, we have three parables and three twists. The first parable of the shepherd going after the lost sheep, which I've preached on before, no shepherd in their right mind would leave the 99 sheep unprotected to go find just one. It doesn't make sense in terms of protecting your agricultural investments. And what woman, after searching the house for the coin that she had so desperately longed to find because it was worth a day's wages, that's a lot of money, who would then throw a party that probably cost nearly as much as that coin to celebrate having found it? It's not, again, a good way to react to this investment. It's not the prudent or logical way to respond. And then, of course, there is the parable of the prodigal son, where the twist is a little more complicated. So we hear the younger son come to his father and ask for his inheritance, obviously, while his father is still alive. He's shamelessly asking for his half before it's time. And so he's essentially wishing his father dead. So why celebrate this degenerate who is coming back home? The son's actions essentially said to the father, "You're dead to me, Dad." So when his son returns home with his tail between his legs, the father's response should be, "You're dead to me, son." That's what the older son is expecting, right? But instead, the father throws a party, one that actually would have cost quite a bit more money after he had already lost all the property that his son had squandered. The point of all these twists, these illogical responses to someone or something that should be written off as lost, is that that's who God is. The one who always goes looking to bring home the lost. The one who pours illogical amounts of resources and holds out hope long after it makes sense in order to follow home and bring home somebody whom God loves so deeply. The one who is always ready with a welcome for those who are ready to return. Did you notice that in the scripture it says that the prodigal son came to himself? What a beautiful way to think about it. Last Sunday we talked about repentance as a return to God, and this week we're reminded that it's also a return to self, a return to truly who we truly are. The younger son remembered both who he was and whose he was, and that's what enabled him to come back and apologize and return to his family. But although we've talked about coming to yourself as another name for repentance, as it were, unlike the first two parables, the last parable doesn't actually label any character as the sinner in need of repentance. It leaves us a little room to think about who actually needs to repent in this story. As a Moravian theological professor Audrey West notes, in this parable, neither son actually deserves a party. The younger son breaks all the rules and violates his relationship with the father, but the older son lives in joyless resentment, and that's not something to celebrate either. The younger son comes home to himself and apologizes to his father, while the older one cannot bring himself to see beyond his righteous anger to the joy of a lost sibling reclaimed. So is it not possible, Audrey West asks, that after the younger son's heartfelt apology, maybe the older son is the one most in need of a repentant change of perspective? After all, as Professor West says, this kind of change, the kind of metanoia, that's the Greek word we almost always translate repentance, that really means change of heart. This kind of change of heart that the prodigal son experienced does not happen in response to behavior like the Pharisees and scribes in this story. It doesn't happen as a response to punishment or shunning or rejection. But instead, it results from the generous care of the shepherd for the lost sheep, of the woman for her lost coin, of the father for both of his sons, and of God for each of God's children. I think we've all been there at one point or another, shamed and shunned for a mistake or for less than stellar behavior. And if you're like me, and like many other people, that causes you to want to shut down or cut off or lash out. But if you're lovingly welcomed and made to feel that you are much more than your worst moment, and you're given the chance to repair and repent and enter into relationship again, well, then that can feel like you've been given your life back. It can feel like we've come home. That feeling of homecoming is what we're being invited in this parable to extend to others, even especially those we don't think deserve it. I remember hearing a story once about a people where every newborn child was gifted a song, a unique one, one that was just theirs, that their mother would sing to them every night as their lullaby, one that would be sung at important milestones throughout their lives. And when a person would forget who they were, maybe become distracted by some life-draining obsession, or maybe act in ways that hurt others and themselves, then someone in the community would sing the person's unique song back to them to remind them who they were and what they were about and where they belonged. The healing involved in this coming home to yourself requires the person who has done wrong to realize it and apologize and attempt to repair it. But it also requires someone who is willing to sing the person's song back to them, to see them as God sees, to see the good that is buried under or obscured by mistakes and misdeeds. That story that I heard is likely an apocryphal one, but just like the father of the prodigal son, this idea of singing someone back to themselves gives us an image of who and how God is when we lose ourselves and in the process weaken our connection with God or mar our relationships with others. Like we talked about last week, God is there waiting to sing us back home the moment we're ready to return. Just like the father seeing the prodigal son way out on the horizon and not even knowing for sure yet what his reaction is going to be, but just that he is ready to come home and he starts to prepare a party. And so we, like the Pharisees listening to this, are invited to do the same for others, despite our inclination to react otherwise. I love that the scripture says that the Pharisees were grumbling. That's so relatable. It's like what a kid does when their parent says, oh, you have to include your pesky younger sibling or that annoying cousin in your play. Don't leave them out, even though you don't really like their behavior. And I can just hear the Pharisees grumbling because these parables are all told as a response to the Pharisees giving Jesus a hard time about spending time with tax collectors and sinners. These parables illustrate why Jesus would even dare to associate with those who are lost, those who are most in need of repentance. But the last parable, the prodigal son, also encourages Jesus's listeners, the Pharisees, and us to see themselves, to see ourselves when we resent or fail to rejoice in others coming home after they wandered lost. When we let the hurts we have sustained preclude genuine attempts to repair a relationship, it lets us see that we are just as much in need of repentance as the initial wrongdoer. Our anger at what the person has done may be righteous. It may be deserved, but the parable reminds us that if true repentance has taken place, our anger shouldn't be the end of the story. It's a little complex. This is not an invitation for letting ourselves be walked all over by bad behavior or folks who have given one of those non-apologies, you know, oh, I'm sorry if your feelings were hurt, or I'm sorry if I caused any harm by accident. It's not an invitation to make forgiveness or repentance or repair something cheap. But it is an invitation to examine when we may have written someone off, someone who is ready to come home, someone who is desperately longing to hear their song sung back to them, and that we are withholding that from them out of a desire to be right, out of our hurt, out of our sense that they need to pay for what they've done. Each of these parables has a twist because Jesus's teachings have a twist. That what we could very easily justify as correct or righteous behavior, and withhold a chance to restore a relationship. But that's not where we're called to go. As we talked about a few Wednesdays ago in our Lenten study series, Watching the Chosen, as Jesus is talking to some children who are talking about how they got into a fist fight with another kid, Jesus says, maybe that's how everyone else responds, but we are called to be different. And so I hope you hear the invitation of the father of the prodigal son to come and join the party, whether you're feeling like the prodigal son or whether you're feeling like that older brother who is not quite there yet. And I hope that if you can't quite get there yet, that you'll be gentle with yourself as you keep your ears cocked for God to sing your song back to you as well. Because that's who we are. At our deepest, truest selves, we are God's beloved children who are called to live that love, to accept it for ourselves, and to live it towards others as well. May it be so. Amen. Two quick reminders. One, next Sunday is daylight savings time, so most clocks reset themselves, but don't forget that our worship will be at the same time on the clock, but a different time as far as your body is concerned, probably. And also, next week is One Great Hour of Sharing, when we contribute to many denominations sharing together to support financially lots of good work going on around the country and around the globe. So we will have more information about that for you in an email to come and in next week's worship, but just a heads up on that. Now, go in peace, knowing that God is always ready to welcome you home. In fact, and it's not the kind of welcoming home that sort of you got in after curfew and your parents are upset and you feel like you can feel their disappointment. God is ready to welcome you back with a party. And so we also are called to do the same for others through God's grace. Go in that peace, go in that grace, or stay in peace for coffee hour.